Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Mass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, fourth and final hour, Felger Mazz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's the FM dial, 98.5 in Boston, rounding area. The simulcast goes out across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, the TV side. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Just download that to your smartphone, and the stream pops right up. Great product. Also catch the replay, so if you miss us during the day, you can catch up that night or the next morning, and you're all set. Also want to let you know the Felger Mazz off-air show returns tonight, 6:05 on Facebook Live, 6:05.
And Twitch.
And Twitch, don't forget that. So in between breaks of Fortnite games, you can catch me and Murray tonight. Freaking thing. Twitch and Facebook Live, the Felger Mazz off-air show, 6:05. Want to hear Murray swear? That's where you want to go. We'll discuss some things off the grid. Apparently once... Big Jim Murray, in honor of the late George Bush, President George Bush, he'll tell us the story of how you once usurped President George Bush.
Summer of 2002.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing this. I have no idea what that's about.
Oh, I got to hear this.
So, and if you got to hear that, Felger Mazz off-air show 6:05 on Facebook Live tonight, 1 hour from now. So join us there. In the meantime, as promised, back to your phones. Josh in Haverhill. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, fellas, before we get to sports, are you guys still doing that Christmas in the City function at Newbury Comics this year?
Better believe it's Saturday. Natick Mall, Newbury Comics, 2:30 to 4:30.
Oh, this Saturday?
This Saturday, buddy.
Boom. All right. Never mind. Okay. That's good stuff, man.
Thanks.
All
see
right.
you there.
So, as far as the Patriots go, I think the door is open again for them to get a bye week and, you know, obviously get to an AFC championship game again. The big threats to us are the Chiefs, Chargers, and Texans, and do any of those teams really scare you? Obviously, the Chiefs are diminished without Hunt. And then on McDaniels, I think it'd be dumb to go to the Packers. I totally agree with Gasper's point. And like you guys said, he'd be better off going to the Browns.
Okay. The first thing, the door is absolutely open for the Patriots.
Not only to get a bye, to get the top seed.
Once again, one thing you have to keep a little bit of an eye on is the Chargers are 9-3, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
They could overtake the Chiefs.
Okay, and I think they have tiebreakers over you.
I think that that's right.
So, if the Chiefs hiccup and the Chargers catch them for that division, the Chargers could be the one seed.
Correct.
So there's, you know, and there's even an outside chance that if you get a game, that if you drop a game, Houston can run the table and they could be the one seed.
Right. So that Houston and the Chargers could end up 1-2.
So all those things are sort of in play. It's wide open, but the door is ajar. The door is no question ajar. Pittsburgh cannot get out of their own way. Just can't. They can't not crap themselves. And so I don't take them as much of a threat because I think they're traveling now. I think they're a road team in the playoffs. I think the Pats could lose anywhere on the road. I really do. They could go out to LA and lose.
Sure.
They could go to KC and lose. I want to say they could go to Houston and lose, but do you think the Pats could lose in Houston, Murray?
Maybe, but I just, Bill O'Brien's a bad coach.
Me too.
I think they could lose in Houston.
I don't. I don't know. I need to think about that a little bit.
They own that team. The Pats just own that team.
Yeah, like, so the O'Brien thing's hard to overcome. I mean, even I don't know. I used to like O'Brien. I still do. But I don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to him head-to-head against the Patriots. But I don't know, man. Couple of receivers, tight ends, running backs that can catch the ball, and a mobile quarterback now. They've won 9 in a row. Their schedule is absolute dog food here down the stretch. I could totally see the Patriots going there and losing.
Well, let's see. To me, let's see the next couple weeks if they can show the same engagement that they did on Sunday. On Sunday, they were ready to go, man. They were focused, physical, energetic, just the whole way they came out.
From the first play of the game.
Absolutely.
Incompletion to Delvin Cook, and he gets lit by a Landon Roberts.
Which is a total departure from the way they looked in Tennessee and New York the last so it's a home road thing. Let's see them look like that in Miami. Let's see them look like that in Miami, then follow up in Pittsburgh, and then I'll say they could beat anybody anywhere. I don't know if they're that kind of team yet, though. They can beat anyone anywhere. No, I think you want to be home.
So there's another little study I'm going to have to do in the next couple of days then, is how the defense has done on the road. Because it feels like they played great when they were at home. You know, again, the first half against Kansas City, the Green Bay game, this game here, like it feels to me like the issue is when they go away.
Mass, who do you think is the biggest tool bag receiver in the league?
I got to say OBJ.
Okay, you've always felt that way. Did you see his attempt on the onside kick last night?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, it's brutal.
Oh, you got to see this. Bob in Falmouth wants to weigh in on it. Go ahead, Bob.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Two things. So we'll talk about OBJ and then a quick comment about Jaylen Brown. First of all, the definition of a football player compared to a diva is what happened on that play. Here's a guy, supposed to be great hands, supposed to be a player for your team. You give him that huge contract. He waved that thing like somebody with a dust broom and with door leaves on him. And it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
I agree with what Felger, what you said. I'd rather see Gordon go down and squat in the zone and catch a pass than try to make some acrobatics pass and do some kind of dance or make some kind of gesture on the sideline. Give me the money ball. Make play. Move the chain.
I'm with you 100%. I get so – maybe it's just me. Maybe because I'm an old. But it's just to me, that was such a better play, this one he scored on. Identifying man versus zone, finding the soft spot, getting wide open, creating an easy target and an easy throw for your quarterback, and scoring a can of corn, easy play once you diagnose the defense. Oh, that's so much better than flying down the sidelines and, you know, one out of every 10 times coming up with a ball in traffic. Oh, so much better. Did you see the OBJ thing? You called
it up? Yep, what a wuss bag. Holy crap, what a wuss bag.
What a total sellout that was.
Oh, my gosh, with the game on the line? That's like Cam Newton on one and falling a fumble in the Super Bowl.
Good one.
Wow, what a wuss.
Loser.
Oh, you tool.
Loser. The guy's a loser. Pete in Delaware on Josh McDaniels. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's nice of the McDaniels camp not to let Mike McCarthy get out the door before the rumors started.
I know,
again.
Right?
My God. Hey, guys, listen. As far as I'm starting to wonder, was there some agreement where he was going to be the next coach and Bill's just saying, you know what, I'm not having that. I'm not going anywhere. You guys brought it up the other day. And I'm thinking maybe Josh is throwing that out there to put pressure on Kraft to make a decision between one of these two guys. Kraft's not going to be able to have his cake and eat it too.
So that was a theory. Bob and Easton, that was actually the caller, but one of our callers brought up last week that Josh in this being so overt, hiring an agent, going on this media blitz, putting his name out there front and center for a coaching job next year, wants a job top of the list from any of these jobs. The Packer thing comes available, already reports today in Yahoo Sports that assistants around the league are clearing their schedule or denying other interviews because they're holding out to go with Josh to Green Bay. That's a campaign to get Kraft to make a decision on the coaching now versus later, i.e. what Brady did with Garoppolo, or that same situation. I'm not going to stick around here forever, so you either have to go to me now or I'm gone.
I don't rule it out.
I mean, that is a great conspiracy theory.
The campaign's indisputable.
Indisputable.
Okay, and maybe this is his new agent's way, McDaniels' new agent's way of trying to repair the damage done from McDaniels walking away last year and leaving assistants out to dry. See, there are still a million guys out there that'll go work with him. See, they're already lobbying and jockeying for it.
Right.
I have no idea. Maybe that's part of the logic, but as the caller was talking, and I sort of think it out, just football now, not ownership. Just football. If you're McDaniels and you could pick Green Bay, New England, or Cleveland.
So I'm going Green Bay. And let me tell you why. It's just the sheerest bet. Or New England, if Brady's commitment. I need to know that Brady's going to be here a couple of years,
sure,
at least. But Mayfield's certainly more coachable. And there's more upside there. And the bar's lower. If you go 6-10 there, it's considered progress, right? I understand all that. I think Rodgers is sort of a sure thing. And you're guaranteed of getting 5 years of high-end quarterback play. Now, he may be a pain in the ass. He may not take your coaching. But there's no question about what Rodgers is. There's still a question about what Mayfield's going to be. So that's why I would go Green Bay. But
see, I'd lean Cleveland there. Cleveland's the longest run.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the longest run and the biggest upside. I mean, that I'll give you. It is probably Green Bay. But there's also more risk in Cleveland. There is, and I know you said take out ownership, but it's hard to. That guy's.
Well, no, in the real world, you can't take it out.
Sketchy. Tommy in the car on the fight Saturday night. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Mike, you're never going to get the heavyweight back to where it was as long as you got fighters ducking other fighters. It's just not going to happen. And promoters play a big part in that, too.
So, hold on. You're saying that duckers and fighters never ducked other fighters in the past? What, are you crazy?
Yeah, but not like this, Mike. If you go back even...
Oh, bull crap.
Come on. Back in the day, you didn't have big fights all the time?
Well, you had more good fighters. You had more good fighters.
Okay, that's another part, too. But I just think if you've seen the end, you saw at the end of the fight, Fury was pretty much calling out Joshua himself, but it sounded like he was calling him out to set up for the Wilder fight. It sounded like Fury wanted to take some time, even though he just came back. So it sounds like he wants to see that fight. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, so, I mean, let's see. I mean, the best example of what you're talking about is Mayweather-Pacquiao. Which never happened till it was way too late, and that's unconscionable.
Well, I would even say, like, I don't know how far back he wants to go, but Sugar Ray Leonard wouldn't fight Hagler.
Right, exactly.
He ducked him forever.
Right.
I mean, it happened all the time. It happens all the time in boxing. It's happened historically forever. I mean, unless you want to go back to, like, you know, Joe Louis and Jack Dempsey or something.
But the sport blew Mayweather Pacquiao. It should have happened 5-6 years before it did. Sport blew it. Hopefully they don't blow it with these heavyweights because they're building something here. So I'm willing to give it one more round that Joshua fights somebody else and Wilder gets the rematch with Fury. The Wilder rematch with Fury is worth it. It was a good enough fight. It was a tremendous ending. Tremendous ending. And I think that's worth another bout. That's worth another go. And Joshua gets, I can't remember who Mannix said, he gets another guy over there and then that's the semifinals and then finally we get it. Now I'm worried that Wilder's not going to get past Fury because Fury won that fight, I thought. So I'm sort of worried now about them, of us even getting to it.
Dillon White, I think it is. That's who it is, right?
And I'm not as familiar with him. But either way, they are building a little something there, just a little. Back to your thoughts here on a Reentry Monday right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
First and goal to go from the two. Out of the eye. Michelle, the tail of the tandem behind Devlin. Brady turns, gives it to Devlin. Up the middle. Yeah. A dive to the end zone. James Devlin times two. Touchdown Patriots. His second of the day.
It's great to see a quarterback in his 19th year not become complacent and jog to the sideline like he's been there before because it's so ho-hum. He realizes it's December football. A good team in. In fact, just scored a second touchdown of the night. And you go and you find your center and you headbutt him. That's the way you cap the drive off. The offense is back, and I like it. You know why? Because they're tough. You put the fullback back in, and it created an air of toughness.
All right, not to pick apart Zoll there. But is the offense back?
No, I don't think so, no.
No.
Or is it even, like, just ticking backwards a little bit?
No, there's room for improvement, is all.
Well, the ticking backwards part, to me, there's some truth to that because of Gronk. I just think Gronk went in reverse this game. You know, the last week I thought there was a little, you know, reason there to look at him and say, okay, like maybe there's a little something there they can tap into. They get him on the field on a regular basis and fine. They can, you know, build the offense. Watching him yesterday and then limping around again, he's not going to get better.
So, I mean, Murray, you've declared Gronk dead.
Yes, Gronk is dead. Gronk, the unstoppable force that is Gronk, me, Gronk. I am the most unstoppable touchdown spike. Gronk is dead. We now have Robert James Gronkowski.
So again, what was the Hulk's originally?
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. Yeah, he's now Bruce Banner.
Yep.
Okay. So if he's just now Bruce Banner, Edelman yesterday, I don't know about you, but I thought he was a little shaky. He had one big drop.
I'm with you on that. I didn't think he had a great game.
Sort of fumbled a punt there a little bit or mishandled a punt. I think he had 3 catches on 8 targets. I don't know if he's automatically going to, you know, all of a sudden explode on the scene. So now you're left with Josh Gordon, who's nice, done some nice things, no question about it. But I don't know. The offense might be what the offense is. And I don't know how much better it can get.
But at least Chris Hogan's been involved more the last couple of games. So, I mean, it's granted, it's again for the second straight
week.
What
are
you
saying?
Just 2 targets.
So
I think there is some little improvements here over the last few weeks. I've liked seeing that.
I think they're going to have to do it differently. I reached the point where I think they're going to need their defense to do something substantial.
That's what I wonder.
And when I say substantial, I don't mean like, you know, go on some ridiculous run where they're holding teams to, you know, 7 points every week. I just mean be a bigger part of the equation. You know, it was, call it whatever you want. Let's say it was 60-40 the last couple of years. It's going to be closer. It's got to be closer to 50-50 now. They're going to need their defense to.
Well, you think it was 60-40 or 70-30?
Well, I know. I just picked a number. I didn't give it really much thought. But to me, they're going to need their defense to be a bigger part of the equation.
Yeah, I don't know how much room for growth there is with the offense, Murray. In fact, I think it's just inching backwards a little bit. For what Maz said.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be a juggernaut, but I think that there are little things that they can do and get Chris Hogan a little bit more involved. Same with Philip Dorsett, that they, you know, if the defense plays the way that they did yesterday, especially on the road, they can win 24 to 20.
Okay, so now you're talking about the defense, not the offense. Fine. That's
what, but if they can get to 24 to 27, they'll be okay.
Okay, but now you're talking about the defense, not the offense.
See, the problem's going to be in the red zone. Because say what you will about Gronk, he's maybe the greatest red zone weapon in the history of the league. For crying out loud, if you go on a year-to-year basis, basically a touchdown per game. And I think that I think there's a reason they've had difficulty in the red zone this year when he's been as banged up as he is.
And that's one point. Here's my second, and why we play the Devlin thing, is your short yardage running back is not getting it done in Sony Michel. So Zoe says they put the fullback out there to get more physical. I don't know. I think they're giving the fullback the ball because the running back isn't getting over from a yard. Devlin's first touchdown came after Michelle tried to run it in from the one and couldn't.
Didn't get in.
And we talked about all these little short yardage plays that they ran, you know, that drove us crazy. 3rd and 1, direct snap to James White. Everybody hated that. 4th and 1, throw to Chris Hogan on the sidelines. 3rd and goal at the 1, 4th and goal at the 1, 2 straight throws to Julian Edelman. The second one, 3rd and 1 was a throw to Edelman down there. So those are all those plays that they could be handed off to Michelle, but Michelle still struggles on short yardage. So there's another thing that they sort of have to fight their way through.
Yes, absolutely. Again, it feels to me like when the field shrinks on them, they have problems. And so, I just don't see that improving now, Gronk. I'm really discouraged about Gronk after yesterday. I don't know how you can't be. Like, to see him hobbling around again.
So, Murray, this is the point. You say they can win 27-24. Exactly. Is that what they're going to have to do now?
See, I think so, yes.
Maybe.
Because
yeah.
A lot of these years, they've put up 30-plus points in playoff games to advance, or 40 points in a Super Bowl, or 38-5, 38. You know, that's where they had to get to win those games. Are they capable of getting to that point total now if that's what it takes? And I don't know if you believe that. You're just sort of going on history and not what you've seen recently. That's all.
So, you know, the other thing we mentioned at the beginning of the game is that drive to start, or the early part of the game before they even started incorporating Gordon in the offense. Short passes, conservative passes. And the only other thing that occurred to me was ball control. That this is Belichick's, because I think they held the ball yesterday for, 34 minutes? So they had an 8-minute advantage in time of possession. Belichick clearly feared that Minnesota offense. And so maybe he thought, you know, until my defense proves it, I need to be able to slow the thing down a little bit because we're not going to put points up like we used to. Maybe that's part of the logic there, too. I don't know.
So that was an interesting thing, too, just that game management, that just that really conservative, dinky passing game to really the entire first half. What was that about? What were they trying to accomplish there? What were they trying to protect there? That's another thing we've been discussing. All right, back to your phones. Dan in Cranston, go ahead.
Hey, to make my point, I got to do a quick roll call here. Charlie Weiss, Notre Dame, at Charlie Weiss, Kansas State, at Josh McDaniels, Denver, at Josh McDaniels, OC, St. Louis, at I'll give Billy O'Brien half an at because he did revive Penn State, but he was an at Houston until Deshaun Watson came around. My point being is Tom Brady made all these guys, and they should be kissing his butt because that's how they're making their living and that's how they made their money.
No question. No question. We all should be kissing Brady's butt. He's made a good living for a lot of us. No question about it. Be that as it may, I don't know. Can any of them coach? Can any of them coach outside of Brady?
Doesn't feel like it.
I mean,
that's a big question for McDaniels. Like, he's already failed once. So, now, look, you can learn and develop and grow. Obviously, Belichick did. But, you know, I'm not as sold on McDaniels as you are. You know that.
McDaniels deserves another chance.
Sure he does. Absolutely. No question about it.
So, let's see.
Absolutely, he does.
Again, after all the histrionics, I hope to God for his sake he can coach. Because this is a lot of nonsense if the guy sucks. Casey in Norwood. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering if you guys think that maybe getting rid of McCarthy at this point in the year is a way to give Feldman the interim, maybe a four-game audition to be the guy next year.
That's what scares me. Oh, yeah, that's what scares me. That's a scary proposition right there. Oh,
that would be so bad for you.
Because Rodgers would absolutely spit that guy out, but wouldn't give him the time of day, I don't think. So, yeah, that's what scares me, that this is an audition for Philbin. That should be a premier guy in that job. That should be Nick Saban. That should be Tom Coughlin out of retirement. Josh McDaniels is about the smallest name that I want to see there. That should be Jim Harbaugh. That should be John Harbaugh.
Coughlin would be good there.
You know what I mean? That should be that kind of job. Win now. When I mean now, immediately. We win right now. Next 5 years, everything right here.
I mean, that team could use Coughlin's discipline.
Absolutely.
That team could use that.
And Rodgers would have to take his coaching. Would have to. I would love to see Coughlin in there.
His face wouldn't be able to handle it. Remember that NFC Championship game? Yeah, 10
like he was going to fall
need
off.
Need some Vaseline.
October would be that red.
For his face.
Okay, re-entry Monday. We hit on everything. Here's Nick in Rhode Island. We talked about the fight that did happen in Los Angeles. How about the fight in Boston that should have happened that didn't? Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Mike, real quick, do you think that should have happened? I mean, they really wanted to go, clearly, and the ref kind of just stepped in. You think that should have happened?
So what he's talking about is Jimmy Howard and Tuukka Rask wanted to fight on Saturday. There was a line brawl, I say in air quotes, like a modern version of the line brawl. We're all, I haven't seen, again, I didn't watch the game live, so I sort of put it together by clips. Marshmont, of course, is in the middle of it. Jimmy Howard's skating off on a delayed offside, and Marshmont slashes him. On his way to the bench. So everyone get, you know, now, you know, all hell breaks loose, all five pair off, and Howard and Rask want to go. And they're trying to get at each other, and it's one of those things where it's like they're the spinorama where they're spinning the refs around trying to get at each other. They won't let each other go. It's like, what are you trying to do there? I'm talking to the refs. Like, are we saving the world tonight or what? Are we going to have some fun? Consenting adults. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard of consenting adults? Of their own free will, of their own free mind and will, want to go. This makes me think of Frank the Tank. I met Frank the Tank in person at the Beatle karaoke thing on Saturday.
Oh, no. Had you never?
I don't think I had ever. And if I had, I'm sorry, Frank. I don't remember.
Oh, he's the best.
He gave me a mallet. He gave me a cutting board that could really serve as something to whack somebody over the head
with. A cutting board and a mallet?
Well, it's a cutting board, but it had a handle that you could really.
Yeah, it looked like a paddle.
Yes, like a corporal punishment paddle.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it looked like. It was a cutting board, but could really serve to crack someone over the side of the head if you wanted to.
Oh, I gotcha.
It was a perfect sort of handle and width to it.
Perfect Frank the Tank gift.
Perfect mallet sort of thing. That's what made me think of. Would you let the guys go already? They wanted to go. God, that's so annoying.
It's a good thing he didn't give you a pillow because he'd have tried to suffocate you with it later.
Here's Murray's update, and then we're right back with more of your calls on a re-entry Monday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Filger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
There's a right cross that lands for Fury. Oh, God.
To it, which oh, also wow. Landed, and then his head hit the canvas.
Incredible!
I don't want to tell you that that fight Saturday night was an incredible fight. It was good. Wasn't an all-timer. It was a 7 on a scale of 10, 7.5. It was good, though. And that finish, though, ooh, the finish was an all-timer. Deontay Wilder's down. He's down in the 12th. He needs a knockout to win. Needs a knockout, or else he's going to lose his fight, lose his first fight of his career, maybe push back the whole Anthony Joshua thing, a lot at stake, and he knocks this big boy out. Fury, Tyson Fury, 6'9", 270, knocks him clear out, and Fury gets up. Like a previous caller said, like Michael Myers in Halloween. Straight off his back. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You heard the clip there. Listen to, you can hear the punch land early on in the clip.
There's a right cross that lands for Fury.
You hear that?
Oh, yeah, big time.
He freaking tagged him. And Fury went down like a house of bricks.
For Fury.
Oh. flat on his back, eyes out, lights out.
Right, arms extended.
And that wasn't a body shot, right? That's to the face.
Oh, he clocked him twice. First with the right, then with the left on the way down.
Oof.
And 9 times out of 10, I give the ref a tremendous amount of credit for not waving that off. He easily could have taken one look at Fury on the ground with his eyes closed and waved it off and said, that's it. Win to Wilder. But he let Fury recover. He let Fury get up. He maybe even gave him a few extra seconds there to recover. And then Fury not just stayed in the fight, he won the rest of the round. That was an amazing finish. And Fury should have won that fight. He got jobbed on the decision. But we spent a little bit of time on that. You can weigh in on that if you want. I just love that call. So we played it again.
Oh, yeah, no, they couldn't let Fury win the fight because then that would kill Wilder Joshua.
So the fix might have been in there a little bit. There's always a little dirt underneath the fingernails of these boxing matches, man. So you still got that.
I'm okay with that.
True prize fight. It's a little fishy.
I don't care how we get there. I want Joshua Wilder. That's the one I want.
So the Mexican judge was a little off.
By hook or by crook.
So that and the football, whatever you want. 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to jump in here in this last segment. Mike in the car, go ahead on the fight.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to talk about that Tyson Fury Wilder fight. To tell you the truth, that Fury won that fight hands down to me, even with the 2 knockdowns. If anything, it just made it closer. But whoever, that judge that gave Wilder that fight, that meant that he won half the round, and that's absolutely insane.
I think Mike, I think the Mexican judge had him winning the first 6 rounds, Wilder did, which is just insane.
That is insane. I mean, he was getting outboxed the entire time. I was kind of scoring it on my own, and before the 9th round, I had Wilder winning 2 rounds.
Exactly.
So, even then, with the 2 knockdowns, Fury should have won that fight.
So with the knockdowns, when you win when you get a knockdown in a round, you usually win 10-8. Usually the round goes 10-9.
Sure.
If it's extremely one-sided, it's 10-8. Or if there's a knockdown, it's generally 10-8. So I had the exact same thing. I had Wilder winning 2 rounds. Then I had the 2 rounds that were knocked down, so I gave him 10-8. Even though he didn't even really win the 12th. He just knocked him down. But fine. I mean, I'm trying to be as understanding as that Mexican judge as I can be. So give Wilder 2 rounds and then give him the 2 knockdown rounds. That's 10-8. That would have been 114-112 Fury.
Right. Still 2 points in favor of Fury.
114-112 Fury, which is exactly what one judge had. A second judge had 113 to 113. So, okay, he's off one round. Maybe he had Wilder winning three rounds early instead of two. I think that's a little much, but okay, it's within the we're in the ballpark here. So one guy at 114, 112 for Fury, 113, 113, and then the Mexican judge goes 115, 111 for Wilder. So where'd that come from?
Well, because before the fight started, they told him to make sure he had Wilder on his card.
Where it came from is we got to keep Wilder in this because we're still setting up Wilder Joshua.
Right. We need to be the transatlantic here. That's what we got to have. So we want people in Britain and the U.S. to save golf.
Whatever.
Boxing.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Derek in Upton with a thought on that Vikings game. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, fellas. I don't know who the Vikings offensive coordinator is, but I think he kind of let his team down yesterday. I mean,
agreed.
You had Dalvin Cook. He came out of that game like he was shot out of a cannon. I mean, you take away his 32-yard run there, and he's still averaging over 6.5 yards a touch. And how does a guy like that get 9 carries in the entire game? I don't know.
Bingo, Derek. It seems like the Vikings, and look, I don't mean to take credit away from the Patriots because they played well defensively, but I've seen this against other opponents with the Vikings. They're just not explosive like they should be. That Cook kid is explosive.
Oh, yeah, he's dynamic, yeah.
And Diggs might be my favorite receiver in the league. Now, he's a little banged up with the knee. I got it.
Yeah, they said it blew up the night before on the flight there.
So between Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph and a quarterback who can throw and Cook in the backfield, they play at way too slow of a tempo.
Yep.
They don't push the ball down the field enough. There's just something that team should be so much more explosive than it is.
And this is the guy, their offensive coordinator is the quarterback coach of the Eagles last year.
That's right.
DeFilippo or something like that.
It's DeFilippo's kid.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's Gene's kid, isn't it?
Oh, no kidding.
Or
I didn't know
or
that.
Something. Yeah, it's his relative.
I mean, his
son. I should know, but I don't.
They've had trouble running the ball all year. They finally start running it, and then they don't give it to him. How stupid do you have to be? So, and I think I saw somewhere where Zimmer was upset that they didn't stay with the running game. So, like, now look, ultimately Zimmer's the head coach.
You're on headset, dude. Call a run.
So he could absolutely veto and jump in there and say, no, let's run the ball. But to me, the guys that, I don't know, maybe DeFilippo was so caught up in throwing to the backs because they targeted the backs 14 times. They targeted Cook 10 times. He had 8 catches for 22 yards.
So let's give the Pats defense credit because they've had trouble covering running backs in the past. And they covered the crap out of him in this game.
They tackled well yesterday.
Absolutely. I still feel like a lot of those throws were checkdowns, were just a casual glance down the field, and then I'm getting rid of it here. Pats did a good job getting to him early, but still, there's something sackless about Cousins and that offense.
He's a wuss. He's a wuss.
He's just not very good. There's miscommunication. There was a couple last night, too, and specifically it seems to happen with Diggs, miscommunications. Like, and I've seen it time and again already with this team this season because they seem to be on prime time a whole hell of a lot.
So there was pressure on him on that play. He couldn't get the ball out fast enough. And so when I say he's a wuss, I don't know if he can take a hit or not. He might be physically tough.
4th and 11, let's throw the slant underneath.
Unbelievable. What are you doing?
You see that?
Like, at some point there, you got to push the ball down the field.
Mike in Orange, hi.
Hey, listen, maybe they're holding out Hogan to save plays because wasn't Hogan supposed to be the next Amendola?
And no.
I don't see no Amendola-esque plays from this guy.
Well, okay, when you say the next Amendola, I think Hogan was always more of an outside guy than an inside guy. But, I mean, I'd like to see the ball go more to him. I'd like to see the ball go more to Dorsett. I'm talking about that forever.
Did Dorsett even have a target yesterday?
Nope,
I didn't see him on the field. I mean,
he wasn't out there much if he was out there. I know he was out there a couple of times because I saw him run off the sideline.
Zero targets.
But look, at least you're using Gordon properly. At least Gordon is more possession routes, comebacks, you know, and they're not just chucking it to him on the back pylon or throwing these lobs over the top, these low percentage plays. At least at least he's running routes. And I think that's, I don't know, I'm far more encouraged by how they've been using Gordon now than when they were early on in the year, just the home run ball. Patrick in the car on Thielen. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to get you guys' take on why did Thielen react that way when Belichick threw the challenge flag? I didn't think it was too out of line, but Belichick, what do you guys think about that?
It wasn't over the challenge flag. The TV did a bad. I don't even think the TV mentioned Chung.
They didn't.
Okay, so those of us watching TV, we had to read about it or piece it together later because TV blew it. The Fox broadcast blew it. What Thielen was complaining about was Patrick Chung was faking an injury to get a timeout so Bill didn't have to throw the challenge flag so they could actually look at the replay, without having to throw a challenge flag, get an automatic timeout for the injury to look at the replay. And Thielen was complaining to the ref over by the Patriots sideline about that. And Bill ducked over the ref's shoulder and told him to go F himself.
Shut the F up is what he said.
I prefer to say go F yourself. But it was something along those lines, which, you know, we love to see it. We love to see Bill tell someone to go F themselves.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with either thing. I didn't have a problem with Thielen saying you guys are being weaselly. I didn't have a problem with Bill telling him to go pound sand. Like, you know, shut the F up. Like, I didn't have a problem with either part of it. Good, that's good, like, honest, competitive emotion. No problem.
Nate in Brockton on Wilder Fury. Go ahead, Nate.
Real quick, quick question. Who was the favorite in that fight?
You know, I don't even know, Nate.
I gotta believe.
I mean, I haven't followed boxing in a long time. I'm more of a, I kind of molded into an MMA guy once that, you know, started to take off. And that's one thing that I think that why boxing is falling behind MMA. One is there isn't one umbrella watching over the entire sport. It's like a bunch of different, you know, branches, which is why you have so much crooked stuff going on and judges calling fights, you know, obvious. Any, you know, layman person who's watching a boxing match for the first time could say that guy didn't win the fight, but yet you have one judge who hasn't won.
Nate, can I disagree with you? Because I think boxing has always had controversial decisions. They've always had crooked refereeing, and in some ways it almost adds to the nonsense, the carnival nature of it.
And they've always had the WBA, the WBC, the WBO, the IBF.
Well, now it's gotten worse.
Okay, it has gotten worse, but it was never, you know.
You know, they call Fury the linear champion.
I heard this.
The linear champion. Because he beat Klitschko originally and then took, I don't know why, I only know half his story. He took years off. He had a cocaine problem, a drug problem. He almost ballooned to 400 pounds and I guess lost his belts or whatever, but he's still considered the linear champion. Joshua has a bunch of belts, alphabet soup. I don't even know which ones. Wilder has some belts.
So wait, does he actually have a belt as the linear champion?
I don't know. They call him the linear champion. Billy, okay. Do you get a belt for the linear championship?
I can't imagine you do.
No, but he's like considered the linear champion. Like, it is. It's nonsense. But I don't think that crooked decision, if that's what it was on Saturday, and it might have been, I don't think that drives people away from boxing. Let me tell you what's driven people away from boxing.
Good fights.
No heavyweights. No heavyweights. There have been plenty of good fights with the little fellas.
A shortage of good fights is what I meant.
A shortage of heavyweights. Heavyweights have always driven that sport. Always. You got to have the baddest man on the planet. The heavyweight champion of the world. And then everything else falls into place. When you had all those great middleweight divisions and the great run of, you know, middleweight fighters with Sugar Ray and Hagler and all that, that's when you had, you know, the end of Ali into Holmes and all of that.
Oh, like, of course.
The heavyweight and then into Tyson. Like, the heavyweight division was huge. If you don't have heavyweights, you don't have a sport, I think.
Well, and Deontay Wilder wants to be the baddest man on the planet.
And I want him to be. But I think you lost on Saturday. That Mexican judge helped you out, bro.
He had to be favored Wilder because the other guy hadn't fought in like 4 years.
That's
years.
Not a 2 year. I don't know. I'm not. I can't remember. When
okay, whatever it was, he was four bills and he was doing blow. Like, there's no way he was favored coming back.
Not the best way to get ready for a prize fight. But then again, it is boxing. We have a quick break. Then Murray's. Not Murray's update. We have the final word. The final word coming your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Again, Felger Maz off-air show, 6:05, coming up in just about 9 minutes on Facebook Live. Me and Murray. Murray tells a story how he usurped the former late President George Bush. This should be good. I have no idea what the hell this is about. So we'll talk about that and some leftover stuff from the show. Anything off the grid you want. Again, 6:05 on Facebook Live.
I want to hear this now myself. I'm not sticking around tonight for the...
Tune in.
You know what? I'm gonna dial it in on Twitch.
There you go.
Car.
Twitch it.
Turn up the audio.
Twitch and drive.
Well, I'm not going to watch, but I can listen.
Yeah, there's no problem with
that. I can listen on Twitch, Marie.
Do you want to plug?
I can do Facebook Live in the car.
Do you want to plug anything with Christmas in the City before we start?
I'll do it at the end. Go.
Okay. All right. So, as we were talking about the Vikings who lost to the Patriots yesterday, they are known for their touchdown dances, one of which was the limbo that they did last week in their win over Green Bay, something that, of course, Felger did not like.
End zone celebrations. Boy, am I glad the Patriots, and correct me if I'm wrong, haven't done a silly choreographed a single one, right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I mean, they spiked the ball.
The Vikings played like a game of pickle.
Clowns. Yeah,
they did limbo last week. Oh, there's nothing to that extent.
The limbo I like.
I do.
I can't. How much time are you spending on that? How much time?
It was quick. That thing.
How much time are you spending on it as opposed to football?
Oh, you mean while they're practicing it off?
I'm just saying any time or energy spent on that is not spent on football, and so I've got no use for it. And you know who would agree with me? Bill. Because you haven't seen the Patriots do anything like that, have you? Have I even seen a dance move from anyone?
I mean, yeah, other than Brandon dance. Cooks jumping on Gronk last year.
Rode him like a pony.
There's been spikes and a little bit of shimmying.
No, there's spikes. Bill allows him to spike the ball and hard if you want. You can even spike it hard. Have I even seen a shimmy?
There's been a shimmy.
Show me a shimmy.
But I don't think there's been anything overly choreographed. No.
There's none of these group, you know, let's all take a picture, let's go bowling, let's play pickle, go F yourself, you're playing a game.
Tell you what, I did like the limbo.
Oh, I hated it.
Who was it that they held up? Was it Thielen?
I think so, yeah.
That was awesome. They held him up like the limbo bar.
Give me a break.
Someone's going to try a high jump over him before too long.
It's James White who typically shimmies, but you get a little bit of a shimmy, that's it.
Could you imagine if they had, like, dropped Thielen on his head?
Show me the James White shimmy, please.
I can't right now, especially because I am looking at the spinning wheel of death on this piece of crap computer, okay. But I'll bring it in for tomorrow.
Okay, fine.
We also have this. Before we play this, too, let me tell you, one of the more interesting things that ever since I started doing the Patriots post game with Beetle, we do it live from... At Splitsville, is when people tell you to go F yourself to your face because they've been liquored up. You know, for being at the game all day, that's always fun. Yeah. But what's even more fun is that essentially comes from in the building. Co-worker Matt Doloff, you know the name?
Matt Doloff.
Sports Hub, yeah, 98.5thesportshub.com. I don't know if you know this, Mike and Tony. He's been doing this every single week that the Patriots win on Twitter.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yes, he posts a video as the game ends and then pretends to be the both of you.
No, I did. I heard about that. I haven't actually watched the videos yet, but I want to hear it.
Yeah. So here's his assessment of how Felger and Maz would sound.
Wait, hold on. What does that have to do with go F yourself?
Well, this is like him telling us to go, I feel like telling the show to basically go F yourself. Oh. You know, this is him mocking the show from inside the building.
Does he do it after they lose?
No, only when they win. I think it's only when they win.
Okay.
No, because when
no,
they...
perfect. No, perfect. Go ahead.
No, because when they lose, we're right.
Larry's in a car. Larry, what do you got? Larry, I'm going to cut you off because your phone sucks. But his comment line said the offense sucked in this game. Maz, do you agree? Of course, Mike. I thought they sucked. Man, I'm telling you, Tom Brady is not a top 10 quarterback anymore. And where are all your running back people? You couldn't even score without handing it off to the fracata fullback, James Devlin. Will you stop with that? Oh, my God, please, Mike. The Vikings, they didn't even show up. I was wrong about them, Mike. They suck. Am I supposed to be all geeked up because Stephon Gilmore covered Stephon Diggs on a bum knee? I thought they had a clue. Clearly they did not. You should have wiped the floor with that team. Sorry. Mike, I'm not sold on the defense, Mike. I'm still not sold. I'm telling you.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, you got to do a better job on the pitch, the inflection
of
my voice.
And Maz does not sound like Peter Griffin, but that you know he gave you a little accent there that you don't have. But the tonality was...
You know, he's right, though. The Vikings let me down. They did. The Vikings let me down yesterday. And there was a guy, I meant to tell you this, up in the stands when the Vikings started to move down the field to score. And they threw that ball to Diggs down the field. I put my arms up in the air like, finally, they throw the ball to the outside to the receivers. Some guy like about 15 rows behind me yelled, yeah, wipe that smile off your face, man.
Yeah, it's good. Now, Doloff, that's good work there. Not bad.
Clearly, they did not. You should have wiped the floor with that team. Sorry. Mike, I'm not sold on the defense, Mike. I'm still not sold. I'm telling you.
I'm getting there, Matt.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.